Today is Saturday, the 5th of November 2022, and we are gathered here for the 55th session of Mindfulness for Beginners. And I would like to welcome with much respect, representing Nissaramani Forest Monastery, we have Venerable Bhante Homa Gama Dhamma Kusala Theru taking part in this program for today's session. And I would also like to welcome with much respect everyone of you who are participating through Zoom and the Facebook live stream for this program for today's session. Now, our program lineup will be first the in-session mindfulness practice, which will be guided and insightfully instructed by Bhante. And then we will move on to the question and answer session, where written and verbal questions will be presented to Bhante for advice. Next, we will move on to the talk on mindfulness from Bhante, and then we will conclude the session while providing you some opportunity to raise questions or to make statements about your own mindfulness practice. So to start off things with the first item for today, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to commence with the in-session mindfulness practice for today. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Hello everybody. So we will take some time to do a sitting session. Sorry, probably a walking session today. We will take about 10 to 15 minutes to practice mindful walking. For this, you have to make sure that you have some space, probably like 10, 15 feet space, where you can walk back and forth in a comfortable manner. So first, select this space. Make sure that there are no obstacles. Then you start walking. You start walking in a comfortable manner while being aware, paying attention that you are walking. Initially, you might not feel much. Initially, you might feel that your mind is all over the place. But when you walk again and again while paying attention, you start to notice. Probably you start to notice your body walking, how the weight is shifting from one leg to the other, the ground you feel with your feet. Maybe it's a wooden floor, maybe it's a carpet. You can feel the texture of the ground. In addition, probably the temperature of the ground you may feel. So again and again, we walk back and forth in a comfortable manner while paying attention to the walking. Time to time, your attention will go to the sounds from the surrounding. Vehicle noises, some other people talking, working. Those sounds from the surrounding will grab your attention. But it's okay. Again and again, you can be aware that you hear surrounding sounds. Again and again, you bring your attention back to the present moment. In this moment, I am walking. That attention, you try to maintain again and again. Then again, you feel the texture of the ground. You feel how the feet is touching the ground, how the weight is shifting from one leg to the other. Those details you might feel. Time to time, thoughts may appear. It's natural that you get thoughts. Let them happen. Let them come and go naturally. And be aware. Simply be aware that these thinking processes are happening. Various mental images, future planning, past incidents might appear in your mind. That's okay. Again and again, we try to maintain our awareness. Here in this moment, I'm walking. That very awareness we try to maintain. So that is what we are going to do for probably like 10 to 15 minutes. We are going to walk in a comfortable manner while paying attention. Sounds come and go, various thoughts, future planning might come and go, surrounding sights might grab your attention. It's okay. Again and again, you try to be aware about the walking process. Again and again, you bring your attention back to the present moment. So that's what we are going to do as a group. Let's try to be mindful while walking. Okay, now you can return back to your seats. So that's about 10 to 15 minutes of mindful walking. And this is just to give you an idea. So you can try this on your own, probably every day before going to bed. If you can do 15, 20 minutes of mindful walking, that's a good habit. Try to practice on your own, even in your daily life. probably every day you are walking few kilometers without even knowing you are walking few kilometers. So try to be mindful during those times. Instead of thinking about the destination, instead of thinking about the task, just be aware that you are walking again and again, how the weight is shifting, again and again, what you feel when you walk in a mindful manner. So that's the idea with mindful walking. With that, I think, Namanta, you can take off.
Yes, Bhante, much thanks to Bhante for guiding us through the in-session mindful walking session. Now, next we will have the commencement of the question and answer session happening. And I would like to invite Arusha to kindly read out the reports received for today's session and also conduct the balanced verbal question and statements component of the Q&A session as well. Over to Arusha. Thank you, Arusha.
Thank you very much, Namanta. With your permission, Bhante, I will read the one practice report that we have received for today. Report begins. There was confusion in the mind before formal meditation. Family member mentioned in last week's report, my dad passed away on the morning of 29th October. Missed the class on the 29th due to that. Wisdom whispered to just sit or just walk, but the agitation in mind overruled it for the next 2 days. Then on Monday, 2 days after his death, as a way of offering merit to dad, I just sat. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion and adjusted the body into a balanced position. Closed eyes gently and waited. Didn't expect anything but just to sit and wait. Was aware of body scan starting, but cannot remember it completing. Breath noted at some point. Bunches of thoughts appeared soon after that. Thoughts of historic past and recent past, then thoughts of immediate future. The calmer part of the mind seemed to support the arrival of all thoughts and continue to notice. Breath noted from time to time. Mind knew the body was seated. Body felt settled enough, but mind was too busy. Just allowed the mind to be without adding extra input. Noted the in and out breath again. Attention stayed with breathing for a while. Body was still. Usual aches and pains during formal sitting were not noted. While thoughts emerged many times again, noted these passing away as well. Sat for 1 hour and offered any merits accrued in the session to dad. Mindfulness during the day. When my dad's coughing bout was coupled with gasping for air, we called for an ambulance. Then, as hospital is 5 minutes drive at 4 a.m. in the morning, husband and I decided to take dad to hospital, so cancelled the ambulance. Although dad was in discomfort, he also had presence of mind. Although I helped him, he walked down the stairs pretty much by himself and sat in the car. Intermittent coughing and gasping for air continued. I sat in the back seat next to him while holding dad. Weird thing is, the noticing part of the mind was witnessing the whole event as if from above the car. There was a sense that dad was passing away. There was a strong feeling that he knew this as well. I held his hand and spoke in his ear. I reminded him of the two monks visiting 2 days ago to bless him and how dad helped prepare foot salad for the almsgiving. I kept talking about the almsgiving. His face flinched once. I spoke about the blessing. His face flinched a second time, and then his body relaxed. No movement. Dad's whole body weight came onto me next. With this, I knew he had passed away. Husband couldn't see what was happening in the back while driving, so urged me to keep speaking to dad to keep him alert. For husband's benefit, I resumed talking about the almsgiving and blessing, but I knew Dad had passed away and there was no more hearing anything in this life. Venerable Bhante, what I write now is most likely unusual. Please advise if I was going insane. When Dad was in the car, instead of going into shock or grief, the mindfulness seemed to be present in some way. The moment Dad's body relaxed and became unresponsive, the following Dhamma Vitakka arose in the mind. The death consciousness had arisen for Dad, and rebirth linking consciousness had also arisen, and he has taken birth somewhere already. The mind then contemplated that Dad's hand, I was still holding, will not be making any karma-born matter, chitta-born matter, or nutriment-born matter. Only the temperature-born matter will continue while decaying the body completes. Bhante, is it heartless to contemplate the above, or should I have screamed or become agitated or upset? Because the mundane part of the mind started to nag me after the death of Dad was confirmed by the hospital. Nagging in the mind wanted to have lots of displays of emotion, but another part of the mind was peaceful and was witnessing my dad, his death, and my own mind from a fair distance. I can only share this so far with my Kalyana Mitra Mihiri, who also attends these sessions, and her wise words brought some perspective back. What is your view, Bhante? Am I going mad? As the seventh day almsgiving is on Saturday, 5th November, I will not be able to attend the session again, but I'm looking forward to listening to your feedback in the recording. Much merit to Bhante and the organizers. Report ends.
Okay, thank you for sharing that life experience. As you can see, this is life. This is the life you're experiencing. So these occasions come. These occasions come for everyone. These occasions come. So we have to face them. So this is the reality. These are the life experiences. So thank you for sharing it with the group. Now, as you can see, now even these experiences, non-practitioners, they might respond in a worldly manner. That was mentioned in your report. Now, world expect us to respond or react in a certain manner. World expect us to cry. World expect us to scream. World expect us to grieve during these occasions. So that is worldly view. That is what world is expecting from us. But as you can see, there's that worldly part in your mind. There's a part that want to cry. There's a part that want to scream. There's that worldly part. In addition, due to the practice, there's another part as well. We can call it the noble part. That is observation. That is observing even the incident that was observed, even the condition of your mind that was observed, that it feels like a bystander. It feels like a CCTV camera above the car. Everything is noted, every sensation, every emotion is felt, but it is still peaceful. The mind is still peaceful. You can even feel the emotions of the other person. You can even feel the emotions of your husband. You can feel the emotions of the passing dad. So these things, everything is noted. So this is called the noble part or the noble potential of your mind. So everybody got it, but they don't know. They haven't practiced, they haven't identified this part of this potential of your mind. Now you have practiced. Now you know that this noble part, which is peaceful, which is calm, which is quiet, then there's this worldly part which won't cry, scream, do all kind of things. Again and again, we move back and forth between these two parts. Time to time, you become worldly. You want to cry, you want to scream, you have to express it. Time to time, you notice the noble aspects of your mind. Time to time, you notice how during utter chaos, still you have mindfulness in your mind. Still you have peace in your mind. So these experiences allow us to observe this quality of your mind. Now imagine if it was your death, still this observation could be there. If you haven't practiced, most of the time you might cry, you might scream, you might ask your loved ones to protect you, but still they can't do anything. They can just hold your hands. They can just drive you to the hospital. They can't do anymore. So it is you that has to face this type of a situation one day. Even when that situation comes, you can simply observe what is happening. You will notice that one part of your mind, that worldly part, wants to cry, wants to scream for life. Then there's this other part, which is calm and peaceful, be like a CCTV camera about the incident, about the situation. So it is good that you have identified this quality, this potential of our mind. Now again and again, we move back and forth. Sometimes you become worldly, you want to cry. It's okay. If you feel like it, just cry. No need to hide your emotions. Just cry and let it out. Sometimes you feel that among all these things, while the other people are crying, you can still be calm and peaceful in your mind. So this is how the practice evolves. This is how it grows. So these experiences tell us that this works. This works even when the day comes for you, still you can face it in a similar manner. We don't really know when that day will come. So this is the preparation. We are prepared. We know how to face it. The entire world ends with your last breath. Right? It is a matter of breathing. You take a breath and you continue for a while. Then you let it out. That's what happens. That's what happens. Every breath signals us the end of our life. Every out-breath is a sign that this could be the last out-breath. So you take a deep breath in at your birth and you let it out at your death. The time gap in between, we call it life. So this is the practice that you have to do. You can see this quality of observation, quality of mindfulness is unmoved. No matter whatever the situation, no matter whatever the emotional states you are in, still this quality is unmoved. Nobody can challenge it. Nothing can move it. So that's the real experience that we are having. That's the real benefit that we have. If we grab onto something else, definitely it will move. It will change according to the world. This is just observation. You are not taking a side. Instead, you see, okay, this is the worldly part of my mind. This is the noble part of my mind. Both, you can feel it. You can feel how you are moving back and forth according to that. So very valuable observation. Don't think about what others may think. Their response, you can't really count on it because that's the worldly response. That's the worldly reaction. You behave according to your practice. You have trust in that practice. And when you do it, you realize time to time, you become worldly. You feel like crying. Then let it out. Let the emotions flow and cry. Then time to time you feel that you are in this noble state. All the things are there, all the worrying thoughts are there, but still you have this peaceful part in your mind, this noble part in your mind. This is the real potential that we are aiming for. This is the real potential that we are developing with this practice. So it is valuable that we have this quality to face these type of situations. Now you see, in order to, you know, just make your husband comfortable, you just do it for the sake of doing. But you already know that your father has passed. That's how we do it sometimes. You are living in a society, certain things you have to do according to the society. But you know that this is not the case. He has already passed. Still, you do it for the sake of doing. And in deep in your mind, you know the situation. You know the situation. That very awareness will tell you what to do. That very awareness will tell you the real situation. That is the value of this practice. When you are emotional, when you think thoughts, you don't have this potential. Then you get carried away. It is usual. It is usual that you get carried away. Even observing other people at the funeral, you can feel that most of them, they got carried away due to the emotions, due to the thoughts. So when they get carried away, they don't have this potential. But when you are aware, you know the situation. You know what's happening. You are utterly aware. You know, even other people's emotions, thoughts, somehow you sense it. So this is the real experience. This is the real potential of this practice. So thank you for sharing this with us. I encourage you to continue this way. I encourage you to see how time to time we move to the worldly part and become worldly. Time to time we understand that noble part is also there. That very noble part is calm and peaceful. If you want, you can sometimes cry, be like the worldly. If you want, you can sometimes be like the noble. Both potentials are there. So continue this way. And when you continue, you will see how this observation is becoming more and more stronger. When it becomes stronger and stronger, you are no longer worldly. You are above the world. That is what you call Buddha, that quality of the mind, the Buddha quality. It's above the world. Usually, that's not the case with us. Usually, we are among the worldly. We cry, we scream. But this very quality of observation, it's above the world, above the emotions, above the situations. It doesn't get moved by these emotions, thoughts. So we encourage you to practice, and probably you can share your experience again.
Thank you very much, Bhante. We have received another report, which I'll start reading now. Walking meditation. Walked 1 hour on tiled floor, watching feet left, right initially, and then lifting, moving, placing. Thoughts appeared and passed, and mind going back to feet. Sounds heard, not disturbing. Body became hot all over at one stage, and this sensation passed. Noted the beginning and end of each lift, move, and placing of feet. Noted change of position, arms from being held at the back to being moved forward toward end of the hour, when discomfort in shoulder arose. Sitting meditation. Sat on cushion, adjusting body to symmetrical position, noting the hardness of bottom compared to the softness of the cushion. Watched breath. Thoughts appeared, proliferated at times, but passed and mind went to breath. Breath shallow, equal in length, and then disappeared and reappeared. At times, no thoughts, and noted mind looking for an object, going to a discomfort in foot. Slight adjustment of foot mindfully. At one stage, body appeared to contract, and later this perception passed. sat for 1 hour. Mindfulness in the day. Noted an underlying calm and peace in mind during a very busy week. Was involved in doing a katina at a temple further away. Despite this, was able to stay with elderly relative in hospital and feed, shower her, etc. All this done, keeping mind on each task, driving to hospital, parking in unfamiliar place. Noted slight anxiety in mind driving to hospital, but this passing. During katina ceremony, noted mind observing all proceedings, not planning as mind usually does at times. For example, thinking of the food, etc., that needed to be given to attendees. During cleaning afterwards, also mind on task, putting things away, hoovering, etc. Noted gratitude that arose in the mind to all those involved in organizing the event and humbled by their generosity, help, and kindness. A father's friend passed away on morning of katina and was able to keep mind on sharing merits during and after activities and arranged a dana, which is done weekly anyway, to be done in his memory a few days later. Realizing how the practice is helping a lot to keep mind happy and buoyant, giving rise to energy and not feeling tired despite a lot of work. With much gratitude to Bhante and the organizers. Report ends.
Regarding the walking and sitting practice, the way of practice is good. You just have to make sure that you are putting more and more hours into it. Right? Allow the thoughts and things to pass. It's okay. You don't have to prevent them. You don't have to stop them. Instead, let them come and go naturally. You had that confidence in your report when you mentioned that thoughts are coming. But again, naturally, the attention returned to the breath. Thoughts are coming, but again, naturally, the attention returned to your feet. That very confidence is important. Otherwise, you think, as long as I'm with the breath, I'm mindful. As long as I'm with the feet, I'm mindful. Then when it goes to thoughts, sounds, I'm not mindful. That is not the real potential. Instead, you see, even among thoughts, among various sounds, you can be mindful. It naturally goes to the thoughts, thinking for a while. Then again, naturally return back to the breath. Naturally return back to the feet, the sensations of the feet. So this is the natural process. Allow it to happen. Just put some more and more hours into the practice. That is the advice I want to give you regarding the formal practice. Then regarding the day-to-day mindfulness, now you can see that you have this quality that we were talking earlier as well. This quality of awareness, or the faculty of awareness, which is above everything. Now, usually, if you are among these things, you feel tired, you feel exhausted, you can't do so many things, you feel like it. But when you are above, when you don't take that much friction, then you feel like even the efficiency is going high. So this is how you are utilizing this practice into your day-to-day life. You can feel that you are doing 1,001 things. Still, you are calm and peaceful. The reasoning being that very quality of awareness, it's above everything. It's above everything. If you are among these things, then of course you feel tired. Of course you feel exhausted. If you are not among these things, if you are above these things, then there's less friction. You can feel even during few activities, even a rush, during a rush, you can feel that your mind has this potential of being calm and peaceful. So in a way, we face these situations. We face them as a part of the practice. And we see how our mind is reacting to these situations. If you feel a difference like this, then your practice is correct. You go to these situations, you do your things as usual, and see the difference, feel the difference in your mind. You can feel that the friction is not there. The friction is less and less. You do them for the sake of doing, but you are not really attached to these things anymore. The attachment become less and less. You go to Katina ceremonies, you go to temples, you go to parties, various things, but still you feel that your mind is above these worldly things. That very observation we are doing again and again. That very observation we do, we continue. And when you continue, you can really feel how your mind is getting detached from these day-to-day things. You do them. You do them for the sake of doing them. After doing it, you move to the next task. So we say one thing at a time, that done well. Then you move forward. Then you go to the next one. Still maintaining calm and peace in your mind. Maintaining this quality of awareness in your mind. So this is the way, in a way, to become really efficient. Really efficient. You do 1001 things, but still you have freedom. You have peace in your mind. This is the essence of this practice. Try to utilize that power again and again. Sometimes you might not be successful. Sometimes you fail. But still, again and again you do. That repetitive practice you are doing. You come home, you do your meditation path daily, then again you go back out to the world. Sometimes you are successful, sometimes you fail. Again you return back. Again you do your meditation path. Again you go out to the world. Sometimes you are successful, sometimes you fail. Again, you do your formal meditation. Again, you go to the outward world. This way, we practice. This way, we continue. And when you continue for a few months, you realize now the friction is less and less. Now the practice is taking control over my day-to-day life. Now the practice is taking control over emotions, over thoughts. So that's a very good sign that you have invested good enough amount of time and effort into the practice. So continue. It's a very good observation. Continue this way. And with time, you will realize that you are getting more and more detached from these things. Some of you might not like this. Some of you might want to cry with the world. Some of you might want to laugh with the world. That's your idea, but still, when you practice, you can realize that you are getting detached. You are getting detached, and it's a good thing. If you're attached to the world, then of course you cry. Sometimes you are happy, sometimes you are sad. That is the world. That's how the world works. So as long as you are attached to it, happiness will come, or also the sorrows will come. But if you are detached from this world, then the peace arises in your mind. It's better to call it peace because it's neither happiness, neither unhappiness. Instead, you have this peaceful nature in your mind. No matter whatever happens in the world, you still feel calm and peaceful in your mind. That is the real way of acquiring peace in your mind. Now, this is the lasting peace that we are talking. So continue, give it more and more control, give it more and more power. And you will see how it works in the future as well.
Thank you, Bhante. Much merits for that advice. And many thanks to the participants who've shared those experience reports, practice reports, for all our benefit, so that we can learn from Bhante's wise advice and guidance. There is an opportunity for anyone to ask any questions that they might have here during the session. So if you would like to raise your hand in Zoom, I can invite you to ask your question. While we're waiting, in case someone has a question, I would like to take the prerogative of being the host of this section to ask my own question, Bhante. It's just an observation about walking practice and speed of walking. So it's a very mundane question in some ways. But I'm trying to understand how to find balance in speed of walking. If I walk too fast, it's hard to keep track of what's happening. If I walk too slow, thoughts, it's also hard to keep track of what's happening because thoughts arise and I miss the physical sensations of walking. And I notice that different practitioners walk at very different speeds. So I wondered, Bhante, do you have some advice on how to find that? How to find the balance?
Yes, how to find the balance. Good to see you, Arosh, after some time. Probably it's been like a few months, right?
Indeed, Bhante. It's because the clocks have now changed in the UK.
Yeah, I can help you.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay, so let me put it this way. Now, some people, they drive slow, still have many accidents. Some people, they drive fast, but safely. So this is the thing. You have to find your own balance. You have to find your own balance. You have to see, try it at different paces. Try it and see which works for you. I am not encouraging you to observe each and every sensation. That's not possible. Each and every passing thought you can't catch. Whatever comes to your field of awareness, whatever lasting long enough, you can notice. The rest is passing. No need to go after them. Mindfulness, the quality, there's an analogy of a gatekeeper. So this person is trying to protect the gate, right? If one person goes through the gate without the observation, if the gatekeeper keep running after that person, then the job is not done, right? You have to let that person go. One person you missed, but that's fine. Still, you protect the gate. That is your job. If you keep the gate open and go after that person, then that's not the way of practice. So that goes same with the observation, right? Whatever comes into your field of awareness, whatever lasts long enough, you observe. The things passing, majority of them are passing. Only once in a while an object come into our field of awareness long enough for us to notice. If you start to see the real flow, then you will feel like you have gone insane. You have gone mad because this mind is such swiftly changing, so rapidly changing. So you can't really catch each and every object. Instead, you catch whatever come into your field of awareness. Last long enough. That's enough. That's the practice. That's the job of the gatekeeper. Right? So try it at different paces. You can get an idea from your day-to-day life. What type of walking you have in your day-to-day life. When it comes to me, I'm fast. Right? So I walk in a fast manner, usually, right? And whenever people see me, they also start copying it, right? Even the little kids, even in the satipasala that I am doing, they are walking fast, right? Somebody else's satipasala, they are walking slow. So that influence from the teacher, right? But that's not the way. You can, of course, copy and see, but that's not the way of the practice. You have to find your own balance. That very balance is what matters. You can't take it from somebody else. You can't just copy and paste it here. That's not how it's going to work. So I recommend you to try it at different paces and see which one works best for you. When I say works, you don't have to observe each and every object. Then even the walking is not possible. Instead, Allow it to continue in a natural pace and see which works for you. Sometimes when we are emotional, when we have agitation in our mind, usually our walking rhythm is faster, right? Even let's say somebody who is emotional, somebody who is agitated in their mind is walking, they are walking at a very high speed, right? Almost like running, it feels like, right? But when they walk for 1 hour or so, they slow down. Those emotional states settle down. According to that, even the walking process slows down, right? So that's a very good way to understand the practice. When you have full of energy, when you have too many thoughts, emotions, you are anyway at a high energy level. So you walk in a rapid speed. But when the emotions settle, when the thoughts settle, your walking process naturally slows down. So I'm not saying this is intentional. Instead, quite the opposite. It naturally comes. So listen to this natural rhythm. If you start identifying it, that's the way of practice. So even a person who start at a rapid speed might slow down when they walk for a while. That's a natural rhythm that's talking. That's the rhythm of the body that's talking. So try to identify it. That's the idea I want to give.
Thank you very much, Panthe. That's very helpful. So I don't see any further hands being raised to ask questions. So I think that concludes this part of today's session. So I would like to hand back to Namanthe to continue the program for today. Much merits, Panthe. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much, Arusha, for conducting the Q&A session and much merits. And much merits to Panthe for valued insight along all the questions and the verbal questions from Arusha. And I also like to thank all the persons who sent through those two reports. It is indeed during unexpected events that mindfulness will come and help you out, and as we see in these reports. So next in our lineup would be to briefly go through the practice guide for mindfulness for beginners. I will share the screen and quickly go through the few steps involved. So this is useful if you're a beginner joining today for the first time, or maybe for the second session and study session. It may act as a refresher for experienced practitioners. Right, you can see 5 steps on my screen. First step would be the 2 videos, one on mindful walking and the other on mindful sitting. They give a basic idea and a clear-cut set of instructions on what to do, what to observe, what to expect in each of these sessions. I will put these links into the Zoom chat section soon after this explanation finishes. Secondly, you can decide on a time as your schedule permits on each day to start practicing each session. So you do one mindful walking session, one mindful sitting session. Although for the use of the word mindful, it is not to be taken as a complex thing. We always do walking. We always do sitting when we are tired as well. So being a bit more aware is what the word mindful means. It's nothing complex. So you can allocate maybe 10, 15 or 20 minutes when you're starting for one session and gradually increase. So we recommend, let's say 15 minutes of mindful walking is done. Then we recommend for you to go for another 15 minutes of mindful sitting. Of course, you can, adjust as you wish if you want to. So once you do this for 3-4 days, you will gain some idea of what happens during the sessions, and you will find that you are able to write down the experience, that not the experience felt into written format using words, because this is an English version of a program. We would like you to submit it in English. So you can write about the object of focus during mindful walking. It could be the sole of your feet touching the floor or the ground. It could be your bodily vibrations or sensations. and whether you were distracted from surrounding noises or your own thoughts could be put into the report in any creative manner that you like. What is important is that you try to put this into thought. Sorry, you put that you try to put your thoughts into word. So then you can do the same conversion of thought to word for the mindful sitting session. You can describe what was the primary object of focus, whether it be the breath moving in and out, the abdomen falling or rising, or whether it was any bodily vibrations such as the heartbeat. And then you can describe whether there were any disturbances from thoughts surrounding, or and also how you experienced the focus shifting back to your body. So then once you do this, as a third point, you can also describe daily mindfulness activities, or how you experience mindfulness during daily activities, which is quite a phenomenal event, because our daily life activities take, let's say, 80% or 90% of our time schedule. So if you start writing about that, then that will get you to advance your mindfulness practice very quickly. Number four is the communication methods. You can use the Google form or the email beginnersenvy@gmail.com. And I will put these links in the chat section so you can copy them for future reporting. Fifth one is the recording link for the previous session recordings. This is the 55th session. So we will be having all these sessions in the recording link, so you can go back and check them out for yourself. So with this, the beginner's guide comes to an end. I will stop sharing the screen, and now we will move on to the next item on our session, which will be the talk from Bhante on mindfulness practice. So here you can gain more insight with from Bhante to advance your practice over the next 7 days and come back to this session. So I would like to invite, with much respect, Venerable Bhante to commence with the talk for today. Over to Bhante. Much merits and thank you.
Thanks, Namantha. So everybody, we will take probably like 15-20 minutes to discuss a little bit more on the practice. Now, when it comes to practice, I prefer connecting it to our day-to-day life. When it comes to explaining the practice, I prefer connecting it to our day-to-day experiences. So let me start like this. Now, today, I met some people. They were here to offer some things. They were here to do an offering. The purpose of their offering was to become healthy, because there was a lady who were having miscarriages. So they brought some stuff. They wanted to offer it. And the idea behind the offering is becoming healthy in their body. So that's why they came here. So usually once in a while, we get such people. These people, they don't even know what we are doing. They don't even know the practice. They don't even know the real situation behind it. But they somehow come. They come looking for some refuge. They come looking for safety. So it's a good opportunity for us to teach them. It's a good opportunity that we have to teach them how to become healthy in their mind and body, how to find lasting health. Because usually if you take a pill and become healthy, that lasts only for a few hours. It won't last forever. That's not how it works. So offering something and wishing for health is like taking a pill, taking some medicine. So till the medicine lasts, you get something, you get some benefit. When it goes away, when it wears off, then again the same problem returns. So when it comes to our body, when it comes to our family members, when it comes to our surrounding environment, everything, it's a projection of our mind. Now think about a projector. We see a picture on a wall. We see a presentation on a wall. But is it really the source of this light? Is this really the source of this picture? No, it's just a reflection. It's just a projection on the wall. The real source is the projector in front of that wall. So same goes for our body. Same goes for our surrounding. Same goes for our social connections. It's just a projection of our mind. The root is the mind. The origin is the mind. So whatever difficulties that you face in your body, it's a difficulty in your mind. Whatever difficulties you face with the surrounding, it's a difficulty in your mind. The root is your mind. Usually we catch the projection. Usually we make it responsible. But the true source, true root is our mind. So if you are wishing to become healthy in your mind, if you are wishing to become healthy in your social connections, if you are wishing to become healthy with your surrounding, then you have to make a healthy mind. That is the only way. Otherwise, offering something and wishing something, it won't work. That's not how it works. There's no magic here. Instead, this method is utterly scientific. It's a scientific method. You change the root of this problem. You change the mind and everything will change. Your body will become healthy. Your social connections will become healthy. Even your environment will become healthy when you have a healthy mind. So the way to have a healthy mind is this practice. If you have a sick mind, then naturally your body becomes sick. If you have an ill mind, naturally your connections, your environment become ill. Because the source is polluted. The root is polluted. Whatever projected outwards should be polluted. Whatever projected outwards shouldn't work. So we encourage you to spend some time in this practice. We encourage you to become healthy in your mind. As a result, definitely the body will become healthy. If you have health issues, if you have such problems, then they will vanish with time. As a result, your social connections will be healthy. If you struggle with your family members, if you struggle with your friends, they will resolve. But you have to do the treatment, do the proper treatment. Otherwise, doing something and wishing something, it never works. It never works. It is beneficial for a short period, but it's not lasting. So you have to find a lasting solution to this problem. So this practice is truly scientific. There's no magic here. You practice, you do this training, and the results will come. Results will come. Even some research, they will show you that with the practice of mindfulness, how you find peace in your mind. If you do the brain scans, then you'll find the changes in the brain scans. How various connections vanish in your brain, how new connections are formed. This change you can easily observe even through a brain scan. So there are more than enough evidence that this practice works. You just have to spend proper time on it. You just have to invest some time on it. When you do it naturally, you feel the results for yourself. You experience the results for yourself. So that's how we do. That's how we do. That's how we become healthy in our mind. That's how we create healthy social connections. That's how we create a healthy environment. Usually when there are trouble in your bodily health, when there's trouble with your social connections, when there's trouble with your environment, you come looking for something. You come looking for refuge. That is natural. If you are happy and peaceful, you will not chase after this. You will spend time in ignorance because you are happy. You feel peaceful. But when you feel friction only, you will search for a solution. So when you search for a solution, this is a permanent solution that we are giving. This is a lasting solution that we are giving. It's not a temporary fix. Instead, if you do this training, as a result, you will become healthy in your body. As a result, you will become healthy in your social connections. As a result, your environment will become healthy. So that's the very idea, the basic idea of this practice. When we practice, you can really experience this for yourself. That's the invitation from us. So even when people come for looking for a refuge, we can slowly teach them that's not the real way to find a refuge. Of course, you can bring something and offer it, but that's not a permanent solution. Instead, you have to address this root. You have to change the source of everything. When you change that source, when you address that root, everything will change. Everything will change. Your body, your social connections, your environment, everything will change. So the invitation is that start the training. If you are not practicing at the moment, try to invest some time. We are not asking for you to invest hours per day. If you can, of course, it's good. For most of you, it is difficult. So what we encourage is that every day, at least for 30 minutes, try to sit for a while. Start your day with a mindful sitting session. Every day before you go to bed, try to walk for a while. End your day with a mindful walking session. Then rest of the time, you can live your life. No need to stop that. No need to stop your day-to-day activities. Just do them. Just live your life and try to invest some time. Similar to how you brush in the morning. If you somehow you are brushing, if you don't do it, you don't feel well, right? Similarly, if you can introduce mindful sitting into your day-to-day life, early morning, you start the day with a sitting session. 30 minutes, you invest. Then you get up, you do your things, you live your life. Then before you go to bed, again, 20, 30 minutes, you do a walking session. You invest some time. Again, you go and live your life. That way, you keep investing. 1 hour per day, I don't think it's too much to ask. If you don't have 1 hour, then start with at least 30 minutes. 30 minutes per day, can you invest for this? Then you gradually, every day, 30 minutes, 1 hour, you invest for this practice. Again, you go and live your life. Keep investing for a few months, few weeks. Then you start to see the benefit. Then you start to see how you are becoming healthy in your body. Then you start to see how you are becoming healthy in your social connections. Then you start to see how even the environment is becoming more and more healthy. This is the benefit of the practice. When you do it, you can really see how the problems are solving. So this is the way to find lasting health. This is the way to find true peace in your mind. So that's the idea. That's the way of the practice. So even some people come blinded, looking for some refuge, looking for some way to resolve their problems, for them also, you can talk to them and you can tell them this is not the permanent solution. This is not a lasting solution. This is not the real way. Instead, you have to find something else. Instead, you have to find some alternative way. That is the practice. That's the practice. You invest, you keep doing it, and surely you will see the benefits. So that's the idea. That's why we are sharing our experiences. That's why every week we meet. That's why we invite you to practice. So everything comes together. So when you start practicing, sometimes you feel like it's not easy. Sometimes you get questions and doubts. Questions and doubts, it's natural. When you are new to this practice, it's natural that you get doubts. It's natural that you get questions. You have to just share your experience and probably get a feedback. Then again, go and face it. Again, go and practice. You have to continue like that. When you continue like that, gradually you realize the questions resolve. Gradually realize that problems, doubts vanish. Not by answering, not by giving solutions, instead by repetitive practice. So in a way, sharing your experience is important. But first, you have to practice. Only after practicing, you can share your experience. When you share your experience, it's beneficial for the entire group and we can have a discussion. Even it's beneficial for me, everybody I'm meeting, everybody I'm talking to, it's beneficial for me as well. Today, the people I met, that's a good example. Now, that's the basis for this talk, right? So that's real life experiences. They come looking for a refuge. They get some things, they do offering, they think that way they can find peace. That way they can find refuge. That's the way of thinking. Sometimes you go around a bodhi tree, you throw some water and you think that you can find peace. You can be healthy. You have a problem, you go to a temple, you pray and you think you can find a solution. You get a benefit. Of course, there might be a temporary fix, temporary benefit, but that's not lasting. Instead, you have to address the problem, the real root cause of the problem. That is this very mind. If you change the mind, everything will change. If you keep fixing other things, it won't work. So even the people, most famous people in this world, they can't resolve this. They can't resolve their health problems. They can't correct their social connections. They can't make their environment healthy because the very root is polluted. That very mind is polluted. How can you change it with money, with so many luxurious things? How can you change it? Nobody can change it. Instead, you have to address the root. Instead, you have to purify this polluted mind. When you purify it, everything will change. Your body will become healthy. Your social connections will become healthy. Even your environment will become healthy. So that's the idea. We invite you to invest some time and see for yourself. When you invest some time, when you see for yourself, then you see this practice truly works. This practice truly works. You feel there's this lasting peace in your mind. It comes naturally. It comes naturally within a day or two. It's not going to work. Within few weeks, it's not going to work. You have to allow it to mature. You have to allow the practice to grow. It's growing slowly but steadily. This practice is growing. Similar to how a tree is growing. Every day you are doing your part. You are putting water, you are putting fertilizer, whatever the things you do. Then you let it be. You let it be. You can't force a tree to grow. Instead, you do your part, you let it be. Within few weeks, within few months, suddenly you realize that tree has grown so much. That's the way of the practice. So when you continue, you do your part, you live your life. Again, tomorrow also you do your part, you live your life. Gradually, you see the practice is growing, it is becoming stronger and stronger, and this practice is helping you. This practice is helping you. Even during your problems, even during emergencies, even during so many thoughts, emotions, so much suffering, you feel, I have this quality of my mind that is not moved. That is the real protection. That is the real refuge that we can get. There is this quality of your mind that is not moved by anything, that is not polluted by anything. That very quality is the real refuge. No matter whatever the problem that comes your way, no matter whatever the situations that you have to face, no matter whatever the difficulties, emotional baggage that you have to face, this quality is not polluted. This quality is not moved. That very quality, little by little, we have to allow it to grow. When you are mindful, when you are aware, your whole brain is active. The whole brain is active. You can't really pinpoint a place of activity. Instead, the entire brain is active. Usually, you see those brain scans. They are oriented. They have a center. It's like a vortex that shows. They have energy centers. And around that energy center, so much activity. Then some parts are dark. Some parts are without energy. But when you are aware, when you are mindful, when you do a brain scan, you can see the whole brain is alert. There is no center of activity. Instead, the entire brain is active. That very quality shows the way of practice. This practice, it's above the world. This quality of mindfulness or this quality of Buddha is above the world. It's not among them. There's no center. Instead, it's above the world. That's why even a brain scan shows that the whole brain is active, but there is no center of activity. There's no center of activity. Instead, the entire thing is active. So that is the way. This quality, it's above the world. The world gets moves. The world becomes happy and unhappy. Pleasure and displeasure comes, but this quality is not moved. The world becomes polluted, but still this quality is not polluted. This very quality is the practice of mindfulness. This very quality is the faculty of awareness. So this is the quality in your mind that we can call Buddha. Everybody got it. We don't know the potential of it. The practice will allow us to understand the potential. The practice will allow us to see the potential. That's the idea. So we invite you to practice and experience this for yourself. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much, Bhante, for that excellent talk on mindfulness. And Bhante covered many points which we can focus on, particularly to firstly get the enthusiasm, to get the ball rolling on mindfulness, and also to ensure that we sustain the effort put in on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. Okay, so with the end of the talk, there is a moment for any person to raise a Zoom hand and raise a question on the talk itself. If anyone has a quick question, I can give you a minute or two. Please raise a Zoom hand if you have a question on the talk. I think there is no one raising the Zoom hand for question. I would like to wrap up the session for today. So, representing Nissaranavane Forest Monastery, we had Venerable Bhante, Homagimu Dhamma Kusala Theru, spending Bhante's valued time from Bhante's own practice, coming into the program, into the session today, and providing us with a lot of insight, deep insights at times on mindfulness practice to further our practice. I wish to thank Bhante and also share the merits with Bhante so that Bhante's own practice will keep on improving without limits. Now, secondly, I would also like to mention, not secondly, very importantly, I would also like to mention Most Venerable Bhante Udayiriyagama Dhammajiva Mahathero, the Chief Abbot of the Nissaranamaneya Forest Monastery, for insightfully requesting this program to come into reality. So I would like to share merits with Chief Bhante and wish him good health and strength to practice the Dhamma and also provide guidance on the Dhamma to many people. Thirdly, I would like to thank and share merits with all the wonderful organizers who worked very hard at the beginning to initiate the program and who are keeping a keen eye on this program to sustain its quality, who are working to ensure that this message is continuously passed on. I would like to share all the merits with them and wish that their own mindfulness journeys will come into fruitful success. Then I would also like to thank all of you who are participating in these sessions for providing us the cause, the reason to justify the presence of the program. So thank you, and I share merits with all of you and wish that your own practices will keep on strengthening and improving into the future. And I also hope that you find a keen interest in this program, in these sessions, and are able to keep participating. Also, these are free programs. You can invite any person, Sri Lankan or non-Sri Lankan background is fine. This is not a religiously structured program. It is non-religiously structured to teach mindfulness to a person of any culture. So please feel free to invite others to take part in these sessions so that they will gain valued insights that, of course, will provide them help in difficult situations in life. I have put some brief announcements in the chat section that covers certain points. You can have a quick look at them. So with that, if anyone has a question on the overall program, you can raise a Zoom hand and I can give you a minute to talk. If you have a comment or a suggestion, you are most welcome to raise a Zoom hand and provide that comment on the merit of the program or any shortcoming of the program that you may have seen. Now is the time. I think everyone is happy. Okay, Hiranti is there. Hiranti, I'm allowing you to unmute. You can unmute now. You can speak.
Thank you ever so much for all the guidance. I just want to ask, actually, I joined 1 hour late. If I want to catch up with what I have missed, how do I do that?
There is a link that we put in the chat section with the earlier recordings. So the recordings will go into that. I can put the link, just the link itself, so that you can copy it into a file. Or else you can send an email to the email address beginnersnv@gmail.com. When I can send you a link to today's session. So that's
beginners.
Beginners, N for November, V for Venezuela. That's beginnersnv@gmail.com. NV stands for Nissaranamaneya.
Okay, I'll send you an email, Namante. Thank you so much. And Teruan Sarnai.
You're most welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, so with that, I will then close off the session and wish and hope that you all have a happy and mindful week ahead and find the commitment and the strength to develop further in mindfulness practices, mindful walking, mindful sitting, and also daily mindfulness. So until we meet you all next week, have a happy and mindful week ahead. See you next week. Thank you. I will end the session now.
Thank you.